At the last meeting of the Finance and Operations Committee, we spent some time talking about the unexpected good fortune of having the city close out TIF districts and the resulting one-time, and I stress one-time, benefit to the district and ways that we might approach that, what would be the best use of those resources. And I'm going to make three motions. Before I make the first one, I want to explain sort of why it's worded the way it is. Originally, we had talked about different options, including the use of excess funds to pay off short-term debt, which would bring about, according to district estimates, it would bring about $400,000 a year ongoing into the district budget. When we started talking about when the money would be in hand and the types of things that we might or might not know by the time the money is in hand, we felt that it would make more sense to defer making a decision on how to use that extra money until we know what we're looking at. And I think, you know, at the time we were, I think, very aware of the uncertainties of the state budget, but also aware that from year to year the budgets can shift. Certainly it's not a turn away from using the resources to pay off short-term debt. It's just that we'll have a much better picture of what we're working with late summer, next fall, when we get closer to having the money in hand. So with that, I move that funds received by the Madison Metropolitan School District from the closing of tax incremental districts, TID, be allocated first to closing the 2008-2009 budget gap and to defer discussion of the use of remaining funds, including paying off short-term debt, until information is known about the actual amount to be received and the amount needed to close that gap.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Mr. Winston.
So obviously this doesn't preclude changes that could be made. This doesn't assume a same service, level of service for the 2008-2009 school year, or does it?
It does.
It does, as we are currently here.
I mean, it's not that there might not, the board might not choose to make some changes in the budget. That's not what it's talking about. Yeah. But it presumes basically status quo, and then whatever what adjustments the board would make to the budget under this scenario, you would make with a reallocation of funds. You wouldn't be cutting services because we had to meet the gap, if that made sense.
Ms. Pathak, that's what I've seen.
Yes.
The committee was.
That's the intent, that we first focus on not going through what we went through last year and then figure out the best way to use the leftover resources.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Ms. Cobza.
Is this, for example, not presuming what's going to be done with private school busing, but does that assume then that nothing will be done with private school busing? I mean, can everyone say, oh, well, that means nothing will be done, or there's no presumption on anything?
There's no presumption on anything, except we would basically spend the amount of money that we would have spent in cost to continue. How that money is allocated would be the board's choice. If that makes sense. You could within cost to continue, you could take this money and shift it to do this thing with instead of this.
I just don't want to give anybody an impression that we've made a decision that specifically affects how things are going to be allocated next year.
That's correct.
And that was going to be my point as well. So if you could restate that. So people understand that.
Okay. What this motion does is makes the first use of the money from the TID so that we would basically have a budget that would reflect what it cost us to continue all the services that we have right now next year. It does not indicate that we would, in fact, continue all those services, but there would be sufficient money to do that. If that made any more sense.
Ms. Mathak.
To follow up on that, you know, what we're really talking about is we could do a budget process where we simply approve the budget without looking at the categories and shifting things around.
Correct.
This mainly says that we are projecting what we'd need on cost to continue for the total district budget. And it sets aside the question of the additional monies as a procedural thing, because it just felt more prudent to not lock ourselves into any one direction until we're farther along. Again, even over the coming months, what we're looking at in terms of short-term debt may change, because we may be paying, you know, mm-hmm. progress towards paying some of those off. So rather than saying we're going to do X, Y, and Z next October, which commits the new board to whatever it is, we're saying when we make our budget, this will be our priority, and we will look at the other stuff when we have the final figures.
Thank you. Ms. Moss?
What does this assume about the state budget? Because the cost to continue would assume that the state budget would be increasing. Is that correct for next year?
I'd actually plan to talk about that when we get down to the budget, but I can certainly do that now if you want me to.
We can wait on that question. Or
can you give us the Reader's Digest version?
The Reader's Digest version is that the state budget, if it's approved tomorrow, basically what the state budget that everybody's agreed to fund SAGE the way we have it in the current budget, would continue that funding. As a matter of fact, my recollection is that the governor's budget adds another $250 the following year for SAGE, so the SAGE dollars would be increasing. That's a categorical aid, so it's outside the revenue cap. The governor's budget also increases special education reimbursement, which means that that would be basically money that we would have. Doesn't have to be added, go to special ed, because it's reimbursing the operating budget for what we spent on special ed. That increase for next year, which is not in our budget currently and is not proposed tonight, we will make that change when they actually vote on the budget, which theoretically is tomorrow if it passes. That's about an additional $1 million for this current year and about $1.7 million for the next year. There's like $30,000 and a couple of other things. But basically what would happen is when that state budget is approved, if it's approved the way they have it, we will come back to you with a budget amendment that would increase the revenues to the school district by roughly $1 million. And then how we use that would be a matter of discussion, but it would increase that. When we plan the next budget, we would include $1.7 million additional money in that next budget. That would not deal with the gap. Remembering that the gap that we're talking about is the gap under the revenue cap between how much it costs us to continue and how much money we're actually able to spend under the revenue cap. That's the gap we would be closing. Things like the reimbursement for special ed are over and above and on top of that. So,
reimbursement for special ed, though, reduces the gap.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it does. Sorry about that. You're correct.
Okay, ready to vote? Mr. Carlsmith, your advisory vote?
Aye.
Board, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 7-0. Ms. Mathiak.
I move that the district not go to referendum in the 2007-08 fiscal year.
We have a motion and a second.
I have a recommendation from our legal counsel that you cast this as a positive motion and would suggest that you make a substitute motion that planning for a referendum for the 2007-2008 fiscal year be deferred.
I accept that as a friendly. Oh, you can't. You can't.
I can't make
somebody
one. I'm just suggesting one of you make such a motion.
Yes, I accept that as friendly.
Yeah, you have to accept it as a.
I accept that as a friendly.
Our legal office will be extremely excited.
Well, I'd like to keep things positive.
Ann, did you get that wording? Okay. Any discussion? Mr. Carlsmith?
Aye.
Board, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that passes 7-0. Ms. Mathiak.
I move that the Board of Education begin planning for a multi-year referendum in 2008-09 to fund 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011-12.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? I'm assuming that by the word planning, that means beginning discussion. That's not a commitment.
Right. What we wanted to be very clear on, because there's been a lot of referendum buzz and a lot of will they or won't they and who's going to do what. What we wanted to be very clear about is several things. One is that, again, this TIF money only really helps for 1 year with the gap. To the extent that we use any remaining money to pay off short-term debt, we can put money back into the budget every year, but that's not going to close the gap. We wanted to be clear that referendum is off the table for now. But we also want to be clear that we are painfully aware of the broken system of funding public education in Wisconsin, and that we will be working hard to use our resources prudently, but the fact is it is highly probable that we will be facing significant gaps between what revenue we have available and what we need to spend after the next fiscal year. So we wanted to leave the option and the idea of planning for a referendum is something that is not left unsaid. We wanted to make sure that was articulated.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Mr. Carlsmith?
Now, the 2009-2010 gap will include the gap that was covered this year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It'll be covered next year.
Next year, okay.
And that's a very important point, because when you use one-time funds to cover a gap, that gap then reoccurs as we look at it for the succeeding year. And I think it's wise of you to bring it up to remind us, but it's something we also have to remind the community.
And I guess sort of similar to that, Should a referendum like this pass after it was finished, the gap would be what, four times its original? Is that what would happen? It would run out point blank and then four times in the hole.
Right.
It's the nature of the revenue cap law.
Yeah. Any further discussion?
Oh, our very optimistic approach is that by the end of those years, a state will have done something.
Very optimistic approach. Mr. Carlsmith, your advisory vote?
Aye.
Vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Next on the agenda is presentation of the finalized 2007-08 budget and information about the tax levy necessary to support the budget, and I will turn the meeting over to the superintendent.
As I mentioned a little bit earlier in response to Ms. Moss, this is a work in progress, unfortunately. We will know, hopefully tomorrow, if the current budget compromise passes. There will be some changes to this document when you actually vote on it on the 29th, and we will prepare those for you. But the changes are not, with the exception of the special ed reimbursement increase, the changes are relatively minor. One of the issues that's out there is remembering this budget that you have and the mill rate, the tax levy is based on last year's state aid, total amount of money recalculated based on all the districts' enrollments and all those kind of things. So we actually, in this budget, as you will see, we actually got more state aid than we projected, less than we would have gotten under the governor's budget, but more than we projected. So one of the questions that's going to arise is going to be, okay, we will levy tax, and I believe my recollection is there's about a $2 million difference between what the governor has in his budget and what we received from DPI for state aid. My understanding is that they will somehow deal with that with a property tax credit back to the property tax holders. So the levy we levy here will probably be the levy regardless of how it passes. But my understanding is they're going to increase the property tax credit to taxpayers to even that out. How they're going to do that, I have no idea. But that's what I read in the paper, actually.
And you believe what you read in the newspaper?
So, anyway, that's... Is that true, Susan? In presenting the budget, I'll try to go through this in some detail, remembering that the purpose tonight is to present it to you. We'll try to answer any questions that arise tonight, but for you to get questions back to us as you think about it, and we will try to have the final document in your packet on Thursday night. I've got just a couple of 3 slides, and I apologize.
So if you want questions back, when do you need them by in order to get them in the packet?
Give them to us by Wednesday morning. Okay? And that'll give us time to do it. Don and Doug have agreed to work all night.
And send them to you. Send them to you?
Yes. Okay, send them to me. I got 2 or 3 slides that go over some very broad things, and I apologize because I know it's difficult to follow this on television. And I apologize. I couldn't figure out any way to get the other charts on a PowerPoint slide, so we'll just have to kind of walk through them. These are some pretty simple things. Let me remind you, because sometimes this gets very, very confusing, but the numbers come up later. The district actually produces a number of budgets as we go through the process. And they're numbered, and we maintain these budgets as we go through the process so that we have these milestone touch points. Budget number one, which is the very first one produced, is the cost to continue budget. And remembering that the cost to continue budget is what would it cost us next year to do what we're doing this year, given changes in enrollments, changes in salaries, all those kind of things that we can project are going to change. That's budget number one. And we create budget number one, and then it is frozen in our system, and we can always go back to budget number one, and it stays the same. Budget number two is the superintendent's balanced budget. That's the budget that we create as a staff and to make changes to the cost to continue budget and the cuts that were necessary in all of the years but this next one, make those changes, and that creates the superintendent's balanced budget that I present to you as a recommendation. That's budget number two. And budget number two is frozen in the system when I present it to you. Budget number three is the budget that results from the amendments that you as a board make and then you vote on in May. That's budget number three. Budget number three, as soon as you approve it, it's frozen, but it immediately becomes budget number four. And that's the budget that we operate on from July to October. Now, why that budget's important is because it isn't frozen. It is a moving budget. As you make changes, like money comes in and you accept donations, you accept grants, you make those budget amendments, ongoing budget amendments as we go through the process, those amendments are made to budget four. Okay, next Monday night, budget four will die. Okay, the budget that we're presenting to you right now is budget number nine. Budget number nine, however we end up at the end, budget number nine that you approve is frozen, and that's the official final budget of the school district. It's frozen right there. It then becomes budget number 10. And budget number 10 is the operating budget through the rest of the year. That's what you're making changes to all during the year. So budget number 10 is changing all the time as you make adjustments to it going through the year. At the end of the year, budget number 10 is the budget that is audited, and we get a final report on, and we close out the year. So now, most of the time, those don't make any difference to you. But as you look at some of the documents we have to produce here, those numbers will show up.
Yes, is the next year's cost to continue then based on budget 9? I mean, you use budget 9 as your base to...
We use budget 9 as the base.
Okay.
That's right. Not budget 10. Budget 9 is the base for next year's cost to continue. Okay. The next... The adjusted budget 4... adjustments within approved bottom line, including Board of Education approved ads, grants, whatever, and adjustments to salaries. So that's what we've done. Budget number 9, we're going to make some amendments to adjust to known changes since June. We're going to do a general state aid recalculation. We will show you how to adjust the tax levy. We're going to adjust the state categorical aid. We're going to adjust interest expenditures and revenues and adjust local revenues. This is the way we could, this is budget 9's tax levy calculation. And this is on page 1 of your document at your table. Very shortly, we're using just the document. The tax levy consists of the money that we levy for the general fund, for the levy chargeback, which are property taxes that we have to charge back. You levy for the maintenance referendum that was approved by the public. You levy for non-referendum debt service. That's debt service within our budget that is not referendum approved. That means that it's under the revenue cap. You levy for referendum approved debt service. And you levy for community services. So that you are going to levy a total of $220 million $280,269. That's an increase of $11 million, or 5.3%, with the major part of that being an increase in the referendum debt. Because remember that we are, this time have taken in the money, and you'll see that in here. We've taken in the money, and we'll begin the debt service on the new school. That's a mill rate of $10.08. That's an increase of 6 cents over last year's mill rate. We were at 10.02 last year. How that number will actually play out in real life, that's what will actually be levied, but what it'll actually end up costing someone in property tax, you'd have to deduct whatever extra we would get from the state. But the property tax bills will be based on $10.08, and that's an increase of 6 tenths of 1%. In the property tax levy. So these are for next week, and I won't go over them. So, yes, sure.
I'm just trying to think through the timelines because I know that we have to vote next week on the tax levy. But in terms of the budget and the other parts, am I correct in understanding that we'll still be probably be working with projections rather than hard numbers from the state?
No, my understanding is we are working with hard numbers. That they're going to the numbers that the DPI sent
are
going to be the numbers,
okay.
And that they will adjust with the property tax credit on your taxes for that. That's my understanding.
Okay.
So the numbers we have are the real numbers. The only number in here that probably isn't the real number, again, is the special ed reimbursement.
My quick calculation is that that means that the tax increase for the average home is $20.40. About
like 11, wasn't it?
It was
around 12. It was right around
$12.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think it was like 11.90 or something.
Okay, yes. My math was off.
Let me walk through what all you have, and I'll not, unless you're really interested, I'll only hit the high points, but if you want more detail, please feel free to ask as I go through. On page 2, this is an accounting of the carryover. This is money that was... that was allocated last year was not expended, was decided either legally or otherwise that we had to carry that money over to expend it in this year. And it's broken down by the various funds. A couple I might point out, a major thing in the first one in Fund 10, the equity carryover, that's really primarily, not completely, but the major part of that is money that was expended last year on this year's maintenance projects under the maintenance referendum. And so that will reduce, the carryover there is a negative, that will reduce building services by the amount of money that they did projects early. So that actually reduces their amount of money for this year because they've already done those projects early. Trying to see what are the big ones. The capital projects fund, I believe, is that that's the new building money. That's the new construction loan for the new school. And most of the others are relatively small. One I might point there, there's a $517,000 carryover and referendum debt fund, and that really has to do with timing of when we get the money and when we pay it out. Starting with chart number one on page three, these are the actual, when you make the resolution motions that we've laid out at the end, these are the things that you will be doing. The first of those, these are the approved budget amendments to set the tax levy. This is property tax revenue and equalization aid. I might point out, if you'll notice, that the property tax revenue has been increased by $3 million. In this case, the negative is an increase. Property tax revenue has been increased by $3 million. And equalization aid has been increased by $3 million. If you look down, I'm sorry, it's not a positive. If you look at line four, that's the increase in the equalization aid we saw over what we budgeted. And it's offset with a reduction in the property tax.
So it's not an increase?
Negative
is not a
positive. I'm sorry, it's not. Some are, some aren't. I lose my accounting hat periodically.
The negative's a negative.
In this case, the negative's a negative. That's the two big ones that you're going to act on. The referendum debt fund is the increase in debt service in Fund 39. That's an increase in debt service because of the new building. So when you make the motion to set the property tax levy, you'll be approving those actions.
Can I ask a stupid question? So when we look at our adopted budget, we're focusing there on the items that were under the revenue cap, and that's why we didn't include the expenditures for the new school in that budget, or what's the reason for that? For example, I'm looking at this, the budget highlights. Fund 40, Capital Projects Fund.
Okay.
Where our adopted budget, and maybe this isn't it. I thought you said that was related to the new school, but our adopted budget had no expenses in that category, and then the October budget has $17 million of expenses.
That's right, because at the time of the adopted budget, we had not made that loan. So we don't budget that until we actually make it. So in the October budget...
Because we hadn't borrowed that money yet?
We hadn't borrowed the money yet. So in October, we have to increase the budget by that $17 million to bring it into the district.
Okay, so but that's all related to borrowing the money for
that's
the
correct.
School.
Chart number two on page four. These are revenues and expenses that have been received since you adopted the budget. These are things that have actually happened that we have not brought to you up until this point. plan, see what are some major issues. You see an increase in, if you look at revenues on special, on federal special projects revenue in Fund 27 is $1.8 million. That's an increase in the IDEA funds that we receive from the federal government over what we actually budgeted. At the time we budget, we don't know exactly how much we're going to get, and we budget generally off of either last year or, if we're lucky, some kind of projection from DPI. This is the actual amount that you have. I believe the Community Service Fund increase is primarily grants, if I remember correctly.
Right, the CLC grants.
There are CLC grants that we got from the federal government since that time. That's a good question.
12.
That's line 12. In terms of expenditure totals, if you look, there's an offsetting balance. The way we budget federal grants, we budget the revenue we receive, and we budget a corresponding expense always, so those two balance. So that $1.8 million is the offsetting expenditures to the IDEA funds. Those are always funds that are targeted to some specific thing. In the case of this, they're targeted to special education. So we may or may not have committed that money at this time, but we budget the expenditure because we will expend it all.
What's the BOE spring adjustment? It's not a lot of money, but...
Number 34, line 34.
Yeah, or number 6.
Those were the adjustments made after you adopted the budget. I believe it was Gulf.
Okay.
That's the adjustments we made at the end.
I have a question about the additional IDEA money. Will you come back to us to let us know how it is going to be used and whether, I guess the question is whether this will moderate some of the changes we've made in the past on special ed or what it would be used for?
I will bring it back to you.
Didn't we also, when we passed our budget, though, didn't we say that if we had money, it needed to go against the salary savings because we increased those. I think we should go back and check what motions we made.
Yeah. Well, some of this we can't. I mean, that being one.
I think that's correct. And see what motions we made.
I think that's correct. I believe we looked that
that's
up today.
If we get the $1 million, we would put it there.
What sort of revenue could we put back towards salary savings?
Well, it would really be what, I mean, you could take the $1 million if the budget passes. That $1 million could go back towards salary savings as opposed to spending for something else.
Are we locked into that? Or, I mean, did we make a decision that locked us into doing that or not?
No, I mean, it will take a separate action of the board to do that.
Yeah.
All we did was a sense of the board. And it was
right.
About $400,000, I think, that we
had. We had recommended $1 million. The board actually ended up, I think, budgeting in $1.4 million, is my recollection. And that was the concern.
That's a good question. It would be helpful to have that motion
for
next week. So we were talking about having, there was an increase in Title I, and then we also had a grant in Title I funding. It was like $700,000. Do you know where that is?
It would be listed with the Title I dollars on that line item. It's line 14.
And the expenditures in line 29?
Right. They're together.
And so we're just, that money's already been spent, or?
It's budgeted.
It's budgeted.
Okay. I thought the grant was separate from the Title I. I thought it was $700,000 and then another $1.4.
I'm not sure what the $700,000 would have been for. I'm not familiar with that. The $1.4 was additional Title I-A dollars. I don't recall.
Oh, it's this continuous improvement grant.
Yeah. What's this line 18? Is that it, maybe? That's $750,000?
No, that's a numerous grant.
I don't believe we've gotten that money yet.
So is that? So this hasn't come to us yet?
It's been committed to us. I don't believe we've gotten it. It is already committed to projects that it was given to us to fund, though.
Okay.
So if it's not here, we can't reflect it as a revenue?
That's correct. I don't believe we've received it.
Can I just follow up with Mr. Rainwater? Since it is grant money and the grant was presumably written for a very specific purpose, we would be committing felonies if we used it for anything else?
They would certainly try to do it. We would probably fight that. But no, that grant, and as with all grants, they're written for a very specific purpose, and the money has to be spent for that. And in the case of these, it's targeting 10 schools that are most in danger of being on AYP, is $500,000 of it, and I think it's actually over 2 years, as a matter of fact. So it's $350,000 each year, and the $100,000 each year is devoted to completing our student intervention monitoring system.
Then I just had one more follow-up question on that, which was, is it possible, since we did get this $1.4 million in Title I, that we could carry some of that over for the following year and not spend it all at once, given the fact that we're still kind of in a uncertain situation?
Well, first of all, I don't think we're in an uncertain situation. I'm not sure what that is. But we can carry money over. And we do carry money over every year, but there's a percentage that we can carry over from year to year, and that carryover is pretty much built into the process for us right now. But I really see no advantage to carrying over this money. This should be, I mean, you never know about Title I. It goes up and down, but this is a continuing entitlement. It's not a competitive grant.
My recollection is that this additional in Title I was something that we knew about just after we passed the budget, because when we were trying to find the additional money for the administrator, part of what you came back to us with was that there was something that you could use. You could switch somebody who was on regular funds into the Title I and free up enough to cover the differential in the administrative
pay. That's correct. My recollection is we knew at the end of May.
Yeah.
Sometime like that.
Yeah. So it's something that we really had some notice on, but it came after we actually passed the budget.
And again, we have a breakout of those expenses then? We voted on the play and learn. Did that?
I think that was in a committee, wasn't it?
Right. So yeah, that hasn't come to the board.
That didn't come to the full board.
Okay.
But this, to be clear, this is regular Title I entitlement dollars, and the same rules apply to how we spend it as does all the other Title I dollars.
It's fairly well designated in terms of how we can use that.
Yeah, it can only be used for schools that exceed the district's average, including private school enrollment and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Probably.
Lucy's on a big kick here.
actually, y'all would be. I would be denying any knowledge.
Well, as long as we all go together.
Any other questions about number four? These are just revenues and expenses that have already occurred since we did the other budget. Chart three on page five are really technical accounting adjustments. These are not increases or decreases in revenues. When we move money between budgets, whether that's across functions or across departments, then we have to bring those back to you for approval. These are technical accounting adjustments. They do not increase or decrease the budget. One big one, for example, would be when we created the information services department, when we pulled all of our information services people together into one department, their budgets were scattered out across a lot of departments. Human resources had some technical people. Business services had some. Technical services, which is the bulk of that, was part of business services. So a major part of this is moving that whole group of people from where they were and all their expenditures into a new department. That's the bulk of this. As you can tell, that's all those applications and whatever to the chief information. And you'll notice that they balance. And the first two lines are open enrollment account reclassifications and just moving $353,000 between two areas. Any questions about those? Page 6, chart number 4. These are the budget amendments to balance the budget. These would be new changes to the budget. Let me go over a few of these. If you look at what's the interfund transfer here, Donna? The first one?
It's the interfund between 10 and 27, where we have to make 27 balance.
Okay.
It's a DPI requirement.
Okay. We've talked about this. Interfund transfer ends up being like $47 million. This is part of that interfund transfer. One thing that very quietly went through, if you look at line number 2, the city actually closed up a couple of TIFs this year, and we're getting $876,000 from those TIFs.
Will we be asked to kind of put that into into some fund or anything at some point? Or
no, it's just coming in. It's being used to balance the budget. So when we get to the end.
Oh.
Those are the big things on revenues. If you look at expenditures, the $734,000 obviously is the offset to the revenue interfund transfer. The debt service is an increase in expenditure to cover the new element in refinancing the debt that we mentioned earlier. If you'll notice on line 11, this is adding back the private school transportation costs.
Can you say what line 10 is?
Line 10 is the... We can't get out of the Briley Street building until February. This is paying that lease until February.
So why hadn't we addressed that in our first budget?
At the time, we thought we would get it closed before then, and we didn't. We thought we could get... The actual deadline was February. We thought we could get it waived, and we ended up we couldn't. The line 13 is an increase in open enrollment payments over what we budgeted.
Do you know how many students that represents? It's a lot of money.
I think 55, right?
55 more going out.
I think it's 55 more going out than we had last year.
And how did we decide the amount that we budgeted?
We budgeted on what we had had going out in the past and just projected what it would be.
Do we have a trend on this number?
The trend's been going up slightly. We took some of that into account. It went up a little bit faster than we'd anticipated.
And do we have information on what attendance area the kids are leaving from?
We do. We can get that.
Yeah, we should get that.
One 31 is we serve as the fiscal agent for the Wisconsin School Consortium, which is our human resources and financial software. This is a transaction within them.
But why? I guess why aren't some of these things? Why didn't we budget for some of these things?
Well, in most of these cases, we budgeted. We just didn't budget enough.
So what about the school consortium?
On the school consortium, we finished the fiscal year, didn't finish until the end of June, and that's when we found that those costs were going up for the consortium. And at that time, we analyzed what the costs were, and in preparing the next budget for the consortium, that's when we decided that those costs needed to be increased. So it's at that time. We don't know until August what the consortium needs are going to be.
And so
it's really on a little bit different timing.
So are all the other districts' costs going up like this?
Yes, all of the districts are going up.
Could you explain the personal illness escrow?
Yeah. And this is actually one of the things that was talked about in the other meeting, when you retire, if you retire from the district, all of your personal illness days that you've accumulated go into an escrow to be used for payment of health, dental, long-term care. And then you have that much money to pay until you run out of that money.
Uh-huh.
And so this is increasing the escrow for that part that is going to pay for long-term care for retirees out of their escrow. We have to budget to pay that, and that's what that is.
So were there more retirees? Is that why we're doing this now? Or
no, this wasn't accounted for in the first budget.
And why?
I don't know the answer to that. It was just missed.
So this is not incremental, this is total.
This is total.
Had it been included in other budgets?
I believe so. It was hard to tell. They normally budget that as a lump sum escrow payment. And in recalculating it, human resources discovered that they believed they didn't have enough, and that was long-term care where they believed they didn't get it in.
What would we have done if this TIF hadn't closed?
We would have done the same thing we did the year before. We do any other time. We adjust this budget so it balances and operate within it. I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time, but we're making, back when we do this budget, we're making projections on everything. It's planned expenditures. Many of this stuff we don't know. The budget is going to change every single year between the time we approve that budget in May and June and the time we come to you in October.
Yeah, but that isn't what we're talking about here. I mean, missing a personal illness escrow isn't a change, it's a miss. Burley Street rental isn't a change. It was a miss. Yeah. I mean, so there are things we missed. There are things that change.
Absolutely. And I said, and I've been very clear, when we miss something, I've said we missed it.
Yes.
And to be very honest with you, with 37,000 individual lines, we're going to probably miss some more. And whoever else is sitting in this seat will miss some more.
What is line 15 then? The business software upgrades?
That's an additional cost for upgrading HR business systems that we're just now doing, I think.
Yeah, those are things that have been found to be necessary in the upcoming year that HR and finance are going to be needing. We're needing to update JAT software, the SubFinder software, which is for the tracking of substitutes, extended contracts. There's some version upgrade that we're going to be needing to do those kinds of things.
So these weren't included in the business and the human resources budgets that we approved? These are...
So
that's correct.
It's either we're going to put some budget in, or we're going to have to look for additional resources, or we're not going to be able to do those things.
I mean, I guess that's the concern. You know, we have a TIF payoff of $876,000, and I look at this, and really none of that money is going to kids.
I think our ability to manage our money and our ability to pay people and our ability to track benefits and all those things is a benefit to kids. I mean, we have to operate the organization also.
Right, but there was a human resources budget and a business services budget that we approved already.
And so things have changed since we approved that. And we told you that when you approved the budget at that time. That budget would change between now and October. It does every single year.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm wondering whether the budget changes because all of a sudden we found money and now this is the way we want to spend it. I mean, if you're going to be loud to me, I'm going to be loud back.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Because, you know, $876,000 and to see very little of it going back to kids is hard to take when we spent a lot of time, the board spent a lot of time making cuts that were, you know, very difficult for all of us to make, and cuts that went to kids, you know, with the hope that if we had extra money in the future, we could put money back to kids. And now, you know, we have $876,000, and I don't see any of it going back there, and it's just disappointing.
I understand your disappointment. But we also went back in and recalculated salaries and reduced by $416,000. Should we not have done that? Because we make these changes, that's what this whole time is between now and in October. And if you don't want to approve the things that are in here, just vote them down.
I do think the $416,000 has to do with approving the collective bargaining agreements, which we knew we budgeted conservatively.
The $416,000 has to do with going in and tracking every single person and how much money they make and who's in the salary, like we do every year. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with the collective bargaining agreement. It has to do with going in, recalculating every single salary and how much they're going to make next year, who's in that job, who's been replaced, who hasn't, and create that. That's what it is. So the agreement with the unions.
Then where is that reflected in here?
Right here. Adjustment in salary.
No, the agreement with the union, where is that reflected? Since that happened after we approved the budget.
That was budgeted for.
It was budgeted at one amount and the settlement was at a different amount.
I believe it was budgeted for. I mean, if it's picked up in here, it would be an addition and the 416 would be a net of that. I mean, if the board wants to not approve things on this list, that's your choice. But are we going to miss some things? Yes, we are. And are things going to change? Yes, they are. And if there's something on here that you don't want to do, fine. I think we have to pay the Burley Street rental. But if we don't want to upgrade the software, then we won't do it. But there was no attempt on the part of the administration to say, oh, my God, we've got $876,000. Let's go in and spend it. It went in with all the other revenues that came in and the expenses that went out.
Can I go back to Lori's last question because I want to make sure I understand on the salary issues?
Okay.
I thought we realized some savings after negotiations were signed off.
We did in some units. I know we did on administrators. We did on AFSCME, I believe. with teachers, I think we were right on what we budgeted, is my recollection.
So where would that be reflected then in revenue? Or should that be reflected?
It wouldn't. I mean, it reflects, I mean, Laurie's right, it reflects in the total, in the net of this $416,000. Because what we do is we go back in and we take everybody's salary.
Okay, yep.
Their actual salary this year and who they are and what step they're on, all those
kinds
of things.
So it just reduces the expenditures.
So we're a net $416,000 less than we budgeted. Okay. Chart number five. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ms. Mathiak.
Well, the one that sort of caught my eye was line 18, and I'm trying to understand.
Oh, I should have covered that. I'm sorry. I just missed that.
Would come out to one FTE at almost $70,000.
It's a custodian.
We're paying our janitors $70,000.
Counting salary and benefits, yeah.
And why
two, I was going to cover that I missed. So go ahead. 2 years ago, we cut a, there was a 0.25 custodial position at each high school that did laundry. And 2 years ago, that was one of the cuts that we made. And the idea was that our special education students who were getting ready to move into the job market would do that work. And that worked fine the first year because we had people that were ready to do that. This past year, we didn't. And so we ended up having to cover that with overtime because we have to do the laundry. So this is saying we don't believe long-term that will work because it's not sure enough that we're going to have somebody in every high school to do it. And it's cheaper to have the 0.25 than to pay overtime to get it done. So,
what laundry is it?
This is their towels and...
Each high school has a laundry operation to do all the towels and gym clothes, et cetera, et cetera.
I believe when we've looked at this before, this is cheaper than contracting out.
Ms. Mathiak?
I think I'd like to know more about that because as a parent, I remember plenty of stinky gym clothes coming home along with the towels. So maybe I just have peculiar kids, but who knew?
I can find out more details. I just know we run a laundry operation at each school.
I think they do the food service stuff, too.
Okay. Food service also?
They have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can try to get more details if you want it.
What do you mean by gym clothes? I mean, students bring their own gym clothes.
No, I think we said towels and food service. And the stuff they did, towels and food service and all that stuff. But I can get more details. I've never gotten into the detail of it. One other one that I might point out is the remodeling of the Marquette Weed Start area. We have to go in and put sprinkler systems in. In order to utilize that space, and you got to sprinkle the whole corridor.
Didn't we budget for that when we were talking about?
We didn't budget for that much remodeling. Yeah.
We didn't budget. That was supposed to be a donation, and it didn't come.
It was going to be a donation.
Yes.
Do we know when that work will be done?
Well, not until we get this approved, and then as soon as we can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, after we get it approved.
When will do we expect we start to actually start?
Well, we'd have to, if this gets approved by the board, then we would let a contract to do it, and as soon as we could get it remodeled, we would do it.
I just wanted to ask, is there any additional cost to taking care of the Burley Street rental other than the lease?
Or? That's all.
So we don't have to winterize it or?
No, it's their building. They take care of that. Anything else on that page?
Yeah. Okay. I'm really sorry.
Sure, no.
This is just another one. I I see it's 0.25 at each school, and one of the things that we've talked about is really looking at ways to have people on the maximum level of FTE. Would these 0.25 FTEs come out of existing positions? Would they be new positions? And if so, would one person be at four schools, two people at two schools?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. Do you, Howard?
I don't know. I've done runs that. We can get the
answer. We can find out for you.
Because that would seem to make a big difference in the benefit end of the total salary expenditure.
Chart number 5. This basically matches the stuff we talked about earlier. This is the reallocation of carryover. This is the same thing that we had on an earlier chart that just expresses it a little bit differently. And then just for your information during the week, I won't try to go through these tonight, but page 8 is a detail of revenues that we anticipate for 2007-2008. And that goes through page 12. There's two different ways of expressing expenditures here. Starting on page 13 is expenditures by fund. I would suggest that, where's the department? I would suggest that you use number 14, page 14, which is the same dollars expressed by department. I think it's a little bit easier to read and easier to follow what it is.
So the changes here then are really just because you have exact numbers on staffing and
right.
Figure out the right salaries, benefits.
And the changes
kids.
the changes we just talked about would be reflected in somewhere in some department. Trying to see if there's anything that jumped out. So if you have questions about this when you go through, we can point out what the specific thing is. But again, the same, what you saw reflected on the other sheets would be the net of the stuff that we're looking at here.
Did we know that we were spending the maintenance money from 2007-08 in 2006-07?
Yes, we did.
That was like on some of the roofs and stuff?
Yeah,
because
that was a planned expenditure.
All the other.
Yeah.
I have a question. Ms. Mathiak?
One thing I might point out to you, in teaching and learning, in the teaching and learning budget, most of the big increases that you see are various grants. As you run, if you look, for example, PE in fine arts is the PEP grant. So when you look at the various departments, when you see a large increase, that's a grant that we, if you remember, we don't book grants until we actually are notified officially that we receive them for that year. So many of those don't get booked in the spring with the regular budget. They're booked now when we know we've actually got them in our hand.
Could we, and I'll send you an email because I'm making notes on this, but I guess where we see that type of increase, What I would find helpful is to get a breakout of what the grants are.
Okay.
And
I think we've actually got a grant sheet.
We may.
And the stuff we just handed out
okay.
to you. Let me find it.
Well, there is a grant chart. But it wouldn't correspond to those lines.
Yeah, what I find helpful is
the grant chart.
Yeah, what I find helpful is, you know, to have a sense of what the content of that $1.1 million is and, you know, what grants comprise that. Similarly, I see that we have about a $400,000 increase between the approved budget and the revised budget for MSCR. And
that's
I'm guessing that's grant. I would just like the grant detail behind those numbers.
You actually have a sheet that looks like this that has all the grants on it. It doesn't tie directly to...
It's a separate handle.
It's a separate handout that we handed out tonight.
In the little packet. I think it's that one right there. Nope. The one you have your other hand on.
This
one. This is a listing of all the grants. It doesn't tie directly to an individual line item here, but we can go back and do that if you'd like for us to.
I would just find that helpful in part because I don't want to, in my mind, double count things.
Good idea.
Okay.
Line 66, that's the IDEA flow through, most likely, or?
Line 66 on the.
Here?
Line 66 was creating the Information Services Department.
Okay.
IDEA flow through would be in Education Services.
66.
And would be part of the $58 million that you see on line 12.
So IDEA
would be part of line 12.
Line 34, I'm still on page 14. On line 34, I see, again, one of the bigger increases for district-wide operations. It's about $2.6
million. Part of it's short-term borrowing, the change there. Some of it's going to be the open enrollment.
Okay, so that's all the stuff we were looking at before.
There's going to be multiple things.
There's actually a notes page on page 16. Well, you didn't have it earlier. On page 16, there's a notes page that addresses some of these.
Thank you.
Okay, but it doesn't address all of them.
There you go.
Can I want to thank the staff who are here with us tonight because I really do appreciate the time and energy and effort that has gone into providing the information for this exercise, but also to finance and operations. I just feel like there's been just much better information this year, and I really appreciate your role in making that possible.
I have a question.
Okay.
Expenditures, line 9, the athletic administration.
Did you pick that? Did you get what that one?
I didn't pick
that. I'm not sure what that one is. We'll find out and get the information too.
Oh, that's the movement of the ADs.
From the schools
into athletics.
That's right.
Oh.
So we didn't have that in the adopted budget. They were in the high schools as 0.5 for each high school. So they were under secondary ed, and now they're under athletics.
When you adopted the budget, they're spread out as 0.5 in the budget you adopted. This is just moving them down.
So this is an accounting move.
This is an accounting move.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just it's a straight move, right?
Okay.
So it's not a budget change. It's just a move.
Okay.
Well, because they're under government programs, which is under the superintendent.
What was the increase? Is that the increase? Is that the additional money?
Right. That would be all of the titles, because they run all the different grant programs.
This would be the money of the $1.4 million. This would be the money that wouldn't be scheduled to go out to the schools.
Schools.
Because Title I-A that's in the schools is in the schools. This is money that we're still holding centrally that hasn't been assigned out to the schools. Does that make sense?
And can I just take two steps here? One is that... The reassignment is an accounting move to reflect lines of administrative authority.
I think in this case, it's that money is here now. At the time you're approving the budget, that money is being held by government programs centrally. It hasn't been distributed out to schools yet. Part of it. So as we go through, when you look at a final expenditure at the end of the year, that money will be back out in schools.
Right, I got that. The part where there's the footnote about shift of costs for Title I-A to the Office of the Superintendent, okay. And I'm asking if that was primarily an accounting move to clean that up. And then... I'm sorry, I was so busy thinking about that. Did I miss the part where the bump up reflects unanticipated or receipts that are higher than projections?
I believe the bump up reflects part of that $1.4 million increase in Title I.
Okay. And how will the allocations to the schools be determined?
It'll be determined based on... There's an actual formula that we have to follow based on the amount of low-income students in the school. A school cannot receive less money than a school that has a lower percentage of low income. We do ours in tiers so that schools that, let's say, are 70% or more low income get X amount per pupil down like that. It would be distributed based on those same tiers because you have to maintain that relationship as you distribute the money. And then if the board agrees to do play and learn, that would come out of that $1.2 million also. Remembering that the $1.4 million, part of that has to go out to private schools. I don't remember how much. There's a percentage that has to go out to private schools. And so. That's all. We want to move quickly to page 17. Is just an accounting of the current reserve for contingency account, just for your benefit. The next few pages are the actual calculations. 18 is the actual certification that we received from DPI for general state aid. Page 19 is the revenue cap calculation. Page 20 is the revised levy calculation. That's the one that we looked at earlier, just comparing it to previous levies. Page 21 is the actual levy against each of the communities that we serve. And page 22 actually has a pie chart that's pretty interesting, that is a breakdown of what percentage of our budget each of the individual communities provide?
I have a question on page 20. If we could just go back and look at the predicted levies or the levies under General Fund 10. If you follow it across, we had an original proposed levy, and then there are October adjustments. Am I correct? I take it with the revised levy that what I'm looking at is actually in that category a decrease of about $3.8 million?
That's correct.
That we're not levying?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And that's the state aid difference in what we budgeted.
Right. So that's actually a nice part of the story.
Yes, it is. Is just a chart of the levy over time in terms of mill rate and the actual amount of the levy. Page 24 is the statement of fund equity. And 25 is the actual balance sheet, or what in our terms is called the statement of equity. We actually have increased our total fund equity by $803,565 from last year.
How did we do that?
We actually operated in the black this past year, as you'll see when we finally get an audited report.
And that is really excellent work with staff. So you did a great job.
They did a great job.
Yep.
They really did. Just some things I might point out, they're normal kinds of things, but much of that equity is designated. You'll notice an increase in the operating reserve of from $18 million to $21 million. Everything in here, if you look, for example, there are funds within our equity that are designed for example, Sanchez Scholars is maintained in our equity, but it's committed to paying for the Sanchez Scholars program. The donations come in for that. That's all kept in our reserve for equity. The designated for carryover expenditures at the very bottom are the things that we looked at a little bit earlier in another form. So this is very good news from last year.
Mr. Remore, could I just ask a dumb question? This probably shows my age or something, but refresh my memory on designated equity. Who designates? We do that during the budget process, or how does that work?
No, it's actually multiple things. Let me give you an example. The Bassett Fund, for example, was a donation made by Norman Bassett's family, I believe, many, many years ago. And it's about $365,000, and it goes up. And then we can spend, I think, about $25,000 a year out of that. So it's maintained in the assets of the district, if you will. But the way we got it determines what it can be used for and how it's maintained.
So it's actually it's an endowment.
Yeah.
And we're using the principal, not
that's right.
the interest,
Bassett
not
is.
The principal.
That's correct. Okay. School activity funds are the funds maintained at the school, which we just account for.
That's very helpful. It isn't the
each one
I expected,
of them is different, but
that's
the thing that we deal with in terms of the actual value of the district that we have control of is the operating reserve, the very first one under designated equity.
Is the money that's held for grants, like the foundation, does that go in designated equity also, or is that somewhere else?
We I'm sorry.
The grant office that holds the money for the grants, for the
foundation. Foundation and schools?
They're completely separate to us.
Oh. Because when I got my grant, I had to apply through the district, someone at the district.
We process their, you can submit your application. You got it from our foundation?
Well, I got the money.
Foundation for National Public Schools?
I just submit my expenses to someone at the district.
We just gather all those up and give them to them, but they're completely independent of us.
Oh, you don't hold them? Okay.
No. They disperse that themselves and maintain their own books. Okay. And then we also attached a Fund 80 budget profile for you that shows just what that money's been expended for. And then the next two, the last two pages, 27 and 28, are the resolutions that we would ask you to pass next week. The first resolution makes all those budget adjustments. And again, if some of those you want to change in some way, if you'll tell us, we can put those on for a vote and you can do that. This broad amendment does all that. And then resolution number two actually sets the mill rate.
Which will not change.
That would not change.
Unless the state does something different.
So just to review, if board members have any questions on any of this documentation, they should get it to you by Wednesday morning.
Yes, and we'll try to turn it around by Thursday.
And then next Monday evening, we will vote on the two motions that are in the back of the packet. Our resolutions that are in the back.
That's right. And if there are any, if there's anything that board members want to change, most of it is pretty cut and dry. The place where, if you wanted to make changes, would be the place we had the most discussion about, which would be chart number four. The rest of them are pretty straightforward and hard to change. But then we'd need to vote. We'd need to change. Because on the resolutions, you just adopt this like it is. We'd have to make some change with that based on a board action. But that wouldn't be difficult to do.
Are there any other questions?